Since we have returned from the feast, I hope probably maybe some of our colleagues in work and in our homes will ask, why do we go to the feast every year? And what is the sense of the feast? And I'm pretty sure we all have different answers, or we have the answer for that question. But if someone walks to you and asks you, do you know God? What may be your answer to that fellow? Do you know God? And I'm pretty sure maybe some of you might have maybe asked that question before, or maybe you have been asked that question before. I've been asked that question before, and I can't remember exact answer I gave, but I believe I gave some answers concerning the mighty of God, God being the creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha and the Omega, and all that you can think of. But is it really the answer to knowing God? For instance, someone will ask me, do you know Dr. Philip Ost? I will say, sure, I know Dr. Ost. He's my pastor. And he's the pastor of the Atlanta and the Beaufort congregation. And he's also a professor of the Kennesaw University. He's married to a beautiful woman called Sarah Oss, with two beautiful kids. That will probably maybe be my explanation or my answer to the one who asked me that question. Does that answer really answer the real question of me knowing Dr. Oss? Probably not. Maybe there's something that I don't know about him. So let's see what John said about knowing God. And let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verses number 3 through 6. 1 John chapter 2, and let's read from 3 to 6, and let's see what John said about knowing God. And he said, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandment. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandment, is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. In the context of this letter, to know God carries the equivalent meaning of to have fellowship with God. Just as sinners cannot have fellowship with God by their own merits and powers, sinners cannot come to know God by their goodness and initiatives. They have no goodness in themselves and any desire or ability to initiate reconciliation with God. Instead, if anyone is called by God, the Lord chooses that person and change him, inject life and faith into him, and cause that fellow to forever attach himself to Christ. So it is not that we come to know God by obeying his command. Rather, we realize that we have come to know God if we obey him. Obedience is the natural and inevitable outcome of fellowship with God, where fellowship with God does not refer to prayer or worship, as the term is often misused, but it refers to the objective commonness, partnership, and unity that we have with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Out of this faith arises a holy lifestyle and obedience to God's command. So let's see what John again directs our attention to. John directs our attention to the issue of claim versus reality when you read the chapter we just read. A person can say anything about himself, but what he says might not be true. So a man can make the claim, I know God, as we all do. Because as a Christian, when he asks me If I know God, I would definitely say, yes, I know God. But is it true that you know God? You know, but if he does not obey God's command, then he is a liar. That's what the scripture said. And he does not really know God. He can know God. He can say you know God. But if you don't really obey his command, then the Bible said you are a liar. On the other hand, a man who obeys God's word exhibits genuine love for God. As Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. In John chapter 14, verse 15. Love for God is impossible before regeneration. And Jesus did not say that we will come to love him by obeying his commandment. Rather, if we love him, so that regeneration has already occurred, then we will obey his commandment. So you can't just say that you love God. And John writes again that this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. He does not say that we come to live in him by walking as Jesus did, but we come to know that we are living in him when we walk as Jesus did. To walk as Jesus did is the natural and the inevitable outcome of living in him. So obedience, holiness, and to walk as Jesus did are just the natural and the inevitable results of God's own action in our lives. And what does it mean to walk as Jesus did? When people talk about good works or doing what the Lord requires of us, they often have in mind works of charity. Even those who even doesn't believe in God, doesn't go to church, they always say that, you know, by doing charity is what requires as every human being. So I don't need to go to church. I can just, you know, dole out money, you know, help the needy and whatever it is, and I'm okay. And it doesn't mean that. Charity itself is not wrong. Even John said that if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. However, this is not the Bible main emphasis. This is not the Bible main emphasis. Let's consider the works of Jesus as depicted in the Gospels. How much emphasis is really given to the works of charity? Christ's work mainly consists of teaching sound doctrine, confronting false religion, and performing miracles. That is Christ's main job. The apostles also follow the same pattern. Not that works of charity were absent or neglected, but the main emphasis of Christ's work was on the advancement of true religion. The advancement of true religion and sound doctrine. That should be our main focus as an individual and as a church. And not forgetting charity as well. For the fact that we are teaching sound doctrine and true doctrine, we shouldn't also neglect charity. It also counts. Let's also consider what it means to obey God's commandment. In the 10th commandment, God first issued command concerning true religion, that he is to be exclusively worshipped, that no idols are to be worshipped or be used to represent him. After this foundation is laid, then he issued command concerning human relationship. That's when John says that if we know God, we will obey his command. Those commands that are distinctively religious are assumed, and assumed to be primary rather than secondary. What this means is that even if a person performs all kinds of charitable deeds, such as feeding orphans and the widows, as long as he remains non-Christian, as long as he does not affirm the incarnation, atonement and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he does not know God. Instead, if a man claims he knows God, he will obey God's command concerning true religion and worship. That also includes observing the annual feast, abstaining from unclean food, so on and so forth. So you can't just get up and say you know God by going to church. You know, the Bible said, if you don't follow all these commands, you are a liar. If you say you know God, you are a true liar. So all these ones have to come in before you can boldly claim that you know God. And I believe that's exactly what we are doing. So we can boldly say that we know God. And I'm really sure we know that. And then that person have to affirm the divinity and humanity of Lord Jesus Christ and all other true doctrine, as John said here in the scriptures. So the question is, do we really know God? I believe we can boldly answer, yes, we really know God.